Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. One of my coworkers in the gospel has cancer, and doctors have estimated that he has perhaps 2 months left to live on this earth, but then, of course, eternity with the Lord, because Tom Healy has trusted in Jesus Christ. When we first talked a few weeks ago, when I found out how ill Tom was, when his body stopped producing blood cells. So we talked about it, and, you know, Tom is, he's been on the show in the past as a guest occasionally, and he's been, for his career, he's been a soldier, he's been a warrior, and that's not only for the Pentagon, it's also for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that way that he's lived his life is the way he's still living his life. In fact, when he first told me he was ill, by the time we ended the conversation, I hope he doesn't think this was rude, but I said, Tom, he wasn't able to leave his house because he's so susceptible to any type of infection. And so I said, Tom, you know, I could use help on the website and even on our YouTube channel responding to people who don't know God. And so he stepped right in, and just as he's lived his life as a fighter, he's sharing the truth of the gospel with people on our YouTube channel. And then it was just about a week ago when Tom and his wife Madeline, beautiful wife, when they told me that Tom now has been diagnosed with leukemia, and they estimate he has 2 months to live. And so, wow, this is... You know, here at Bob and Yurt Live, the issues that we discuss day in and day out are the issues that the entire world addresses when there's a crisis. So we just take the things that are most important and we focus on them day in and day out, not just during a crisis. So before the end of that phone call, I asked Tom, hey, Tom, this Professor Jerry Walls that you and I have been talking about, do you think you could be a producer once again for BEL and try to arrange an interview with him on the show? And Tom, to his credit, his grace, his courage, he said, sure, I'm going to do it. So that's so what a relationship, and what a dear friend, and what an honor it is to welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live, Tom Healy. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Bob. Good to be on your show.
Well, I sometimes describe you as a retired rancher from Texas. You live on your ranch there with the home that you and your wife Madeline built. But you've had quite a career, and through many years, Tom, you've shared the gospel, including sharing the reasons why we believe apologetics in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Bob, I want to just, for your listeners, I run into a lot of people who don't know what an apologetics ministry is. Mm. Apologetics comes from the Greek word apologia, I think it's pronounced, and it means to defend the faith, always ready to be give an explanation of why God exists and what have you.
Yes.
And that's biblical. And so I would like to talk a little bit about apologetics. For several years, I taught seniors in high school in a Christian school in Athens, Texas, who were about to go off to college. And what most Christians don't realize is that all of the heavyweight apologists, everybody from John Lennox down to Ken Ham, are claiming that if we send four of our kids off to college, we lose three of them.
Wow. And this is, and they're speaking about kids who grow up in churches where they truly do believe in the Bible. They believe the God of the Bible, but they haven't equipped their children to understand why we believe the evidence for the truth of God's word and for the gospel.
Yeah, as I've heard you say that God exists because of the impossibility of any alternative.
Right.
But what happens is my son's pastor recently announced that he sent his son off to college, and by Christmas he was an atheist, you know.
Mm.
And so, you know, we send him off. It'd be like sending a Marine off to Iraq, and he doesn't know how to use his M16.
Mm.
Well, he won't live to see the sun go down.
Mm.
And so we send these kids off to college, and they're not really trained in apologetics, you know, in the evidence for why God exists.
Right. The New Testament says that faith is the evidence for things unseen.
That's right. But we don't give our kids any evidence. And as Ken Ham says, we teach them it's like a fairy tale. We teach them Noah, you know, with the bathtub and all the animals in the bathtub and stuff like that. And that's
right.
The pictures that are on the wall. So these kids look at that as some kind of a fairy tale.
Right.
And then for 8 hours a day, they go off to high school and they're taught evolution, you know, and so if people are looking for, here's what I want to get at, Bob. If people are looking for a ministry, they don't have to go off to South America and live in the jungle and eat bugs. You know?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but they could do something else right here in their own backyard.
Yes, something that's very, very, as you said, don't major in the minors.
Mm.
This is something that's very important to God.
Right, it's foundational. God says in the New Testament, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And
yeah.
So folks can do it the way you did it, Tom. They could go to a Christian school. Now, most people wouldn't do this. And there are many ways to become equipped in the area of apologetics and then help others grow in their faith and bring others to the Lord. But for some people, they could actually go to a Christian school, ask the administrator, do you have an apologetics program, and sell them on apologetics, and then sell them on themselves. And that's exactly what you did with the local Christian school there in Texas.
Yeah, I met the principal of the Christian school at a funeral. And I had studied for years under you and Fred Williams, and you have one of the best DVDs on apologetics that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, you cover everything, and I can't remember the name of it.
Well,
for the existence of God or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Does God exist? Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. So and, enjoyable. DVD, Blu-ray, download. Yes.
And so...
Thank you, Tom, by the way. That's very humbling.
Say
thank
that,
you. Yeah.
That apologetics requires some work. And, but... you know, anything that's worthwhile, you're going to have to do some work.
Mm.
But I sold myself to this principal and sold her on the need for apologetics.
Mm.
But she says, wait a minute, you know, you're a retired master sergeant military. I said, yeah. She says, you can't hit my kids.
<You know>?
I said, no. I said, I'm not going to hit the kids.
That's awesome, Tom.
But some of those kids were bigger than me.
Yeah.
So
what a exciting thing it is to hear. And when you mentioned Fred Williams and I co-hosting Real Science Radio, what a labor of love that has been.
Yes. And I never missed one of your shows on that.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. And then Bob and Art Live, of course, for going on 28 years now, 5 days a week. So it's been an honor to reach out, and when we touch one life, some people have told me they try to start a weekly Bible study, and they got discouraged because only three people were coming. And I thought, three people, what an honor it is to share an hour a week with three people. And you reach one person, you change eternity, and that person may reach another person.
Yeah, you never know who that person is that you're going to reach.
Mm.
He might end up, you know, reaching.
Well, sure, many people. But even if he's the only person, imagine changing eternity by bringing one more person into God's kingdom. What a joy and what a reward awaits.
Well, Jesus said, leave the 99 and go looking for that one lost sheep.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, I guess we could wrap this up on apologetics by saying that I taught down there, but then I was able to find this woman, young woman at church, who was smarter than me and knew how to use a computer. And I trained her in apologetics, and she has taken over my ministry. And so the principal says, the other day she told me, do you realize what kind of legacy you left here on earth? and it kind of made me teary-eyed a little bit. But
yeah.
I said, yeah, that's still going, you know?
Well, and that's in addition to something that that very few people have heard of. Maybe we could break the news here on this show, the Thomas J. Healy Academic and Apologetic Scholarship that is just now being formed. So what a thrill it is to have that also as part of the fruit of your life, Tom.
Yeah, and so all those kids that are coming out of that school, they're going to give the atheist professors at college a headache. You know?
Yeah.
Yes. So one more thing I want to talk about. You know, you talked, Bob, about majoring, don't major in the minors.
Right.
And everything that my association with you, everything that we fight are major. And, for example, Calvinism.
Wow. All right, now bringing that up, that's pretty significant, Tom, because a lot of members of our audience, they tend, you know, not most, but there are many who tend toward a Calvinist view that everything that happens was eternally decreed by God for his glory, even the things that are filthy and perverse. That man who just said that God told him to behead his mother, I don't know if you saw that in the news this week, and he came out of his house with two young siblings in the house. He came out with a butcher knife in one hand and his mother's head in the other hand. And he said he knew that Jesus wanted him to do that because if not, he would have stopped him. And here at Bob and Yurt Live, we're talking to one of our friends who that's almost the identical words he used to defend his Calvinist theology, that if God didn't want certain sins to happen, he would stop them. So, of course, that ignores the whole issue of freedom and of love,
yeah,
because love must be freely given. But what a tragedy that millions have rejected Jesus Christ because of the false teaching of Calvinism that God not only desires, but he has decreed every wicked and filthy thing, corrupt, and every bit of confusion that occurs, God is the author of all of that.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading, I ran across a professor out of Houston, Christian, and he's wrote some books, What's Wrong with Calvinism. Hmm. And
you're talking about Jerry Walls.
Yeah, Dr. Jerry Walls. And he said that he's alarmed because Calvinism is spreading like wildfire in the Christian church. And it's so evil. It's so evil. I heard John MacArthur say one day, I don't know why God decrees some people to go to hell and then condemns them for going to hell. He says, I don't understand that. I'm human, you know? Mm. And so I was communicating with Todd Friel. He's a TV evangelist. And I said, Todd, I said, God doesn't understand that theology either.
You know? Yeah, right. Yeah, because God says in his word that he is not arbitrary. He is not a respecter of persons. He treats everyone equally. And he gets angry when people think that he's arbitrary and that he's a respecter of persons. And yet Calvinism is a theology based on the claim that God is arbitrary and a respecter of persons, and that he chooses to hate some babies and create them to send them to hell forever, and then he's arbitrarily based nothing on the particulars of that person, not on their humility or anything, that he decides, I'm going to save these, the elect, and I'm going to send these to hell, and that makes God an arbitrary and capricious deity who is a respecter of persons. And God gets angry in the Bible that people would think that of him.
No different than a pagan Greek gods of the Greek philosophers. Mm. I mean, Zeus could decide, get up on the wrong side of the bed one day and decide to
Torment a bunch of kids. Right, exactly. Hey, Tom, on our website, kgov.com/Calvin, or if people forget, /Calvinism, we have a list of quotes from John Calvin himself in his Institutes, Book 1, Chapter 18, where he says, of all the wicked things that men do, God doesn't give them any mere permission. These things are all decreed by God. God has decreed from before the foundation of the earth each man and each despicable thing he will do, each bit of filth, perversion, adultery, homosexuality, murder. And I'm now paraphrasing, but we have the exact quotes at kgov.com/Calvin.
Yeah, if you read what Calvin actually says in his writings of Institutes, it would shock you. And, you know, Dr. Jerry Walls brings out that the Calvinists really don't reveal themselves completely when they first start teaching somebody.
Right.
He says if they were to teach Calvinism for what it really is, he says the average Christian would immediately find it repugnant and run in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's completely true. And you know what's interesting? You know, Calvinists that I know, you know, the vast majority of them, they do love the Lord. They are believers, but they've accepted a pagan Greek philosophy as the foundation of their theology. So they end up promoting something that is actually heresy, and it's blasphemy against God. But they start out with the way that cultists begin, like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't begin telling you the most offensive things they believe. They lure you in with how loving and nice they are to one another and how they respect the Bible. And then it's not till later you find out that the Mormons believe that there's an infinite number of gods and that God the Father was once a man like we are. And
so
it's the same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses, that Jesus Christ is not God the Creator. And so Calvinists, if they came out and they said that from before the foundation of the earth, God decreed every filth and perversion that has ever happened, every blasphemy, every unfaithfulness, a young Christian would look at that person like they're crazy. But they seduce you with God has a plan for your life and look at all the wonderful things God has done. And then later they hit you with, oh, well, he's also done all the wicked things. He's the author of all confusion, all perversion, all hatred, and so on.
And like I said, if they exposed themselves, they wouldn't be so successful in their evangelism. Bob, before we close the show, I want to cover something that's really, really important. And that is the matter of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
As a Christian, as a healthy Christian, I never really thought much about, well, going to be with the Lord. I thought, you know, my doctor thought that I would live to be 120.
Well, Tom, you're so strong. I mean, just physically, we've traveled. Well, we've gone to Greece with you guys, right? You came on our Bible tour of Greece. You and Madeline, and being a warrior, a soldier your whole life, you were part of the small, it was almost like a paramilitary force that accompanied our nuclear weapons when they would transfer them from one state one city, one state to another here in the U.S., and that was after your career as a warrior. So
I took special forces training. I'm going to brag a little bit just to show you what kind of health I was in. At age 54, I took Green Beret training up in the mountains of New Mexico.
That's awesome. And, Tom, I do remember not too many years ago, you going to the gym and these young guys, I remember we talked about this, these young guys in the gym are doing pull-ups.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, could you let an old man try? And I think you put them to shame, Tom. Do you remember how many pull-ups you were able to do?
Oh, I could do about 36 or 40. On a good day, 40.
And they're looking in amazement because you're in your 70s. So fun. How old are you now, Tom?
83.
You're 83. All right.
But I use that as a hook because after I would do that, they'd follow me around, these young college kids, you know. who are you? You know, and so they'd want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
So I'd go in the hot tub, and I'd have about 10 of them sitting in the hot tub with me, and I'd witness to them.
You know? So wonderful. Yeah, just the best.
They're just having some fun.
So, Tom, you said that you really didn't think much about actually passing away because of how strong and healthy you were.
Well, my doctor used to call me a freak of nature. he didn't think, he thought I lived to be well over 100, you know, and so you never know what's going to happen. But now that I'm faced with the hereafter, it's a whole different story, you know. And so, my wife, we had to sit down and talk about it. And I says, I'd like to stay here. I know how Paul felt. He was betwixt himself. He was anxious to go be with the Lord, but he had a lot to do here.
Right.
And so I know exactly what Paul is talking about, because I don't want to leave my wife.
Yeah. And Tom Healy, you just falsified some teachings of some churches where they claim, for example, soul sleep, that when you die, you go into some kind of a suspended animation. That's false, because the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write in the New Testament that he was desirous of going to be with the Lord. So he said, if I depart now, I get to be with the Lord, you know, sooner. But it's so important for me to stay here to help you guys. So he said, I'm torn between the two. If when a Christian dies, if we go into soul sleep, then there is no benefit to dying today versus in 20 years from now. But there is a benefit in that then to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah, and according to Jesus Christ in the Lazarus parable, Lazarus and the rich man, the rich man woke up in hell, but Lazarus was escorted by two big angels into Abraham's bosom.
Yeah.
And so I told, Madeline, my wife and I, Madeline, we sit out on the veranda in the morning, and we've got we're sitting in the middle of 100 acres and looking at God's creation. And I said, do you realize, I told my wife this the other day, I said, Paul said that if you compare what we got here with heaven, he says, I count this as common ore.
Wow.
This life here on earth.
This is like dung.
So I said, do you realize how much better heaven must be?
And then Paul compared our suffering, and he said that the suffering of this world is not worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall enjoy forever for those who trust in Jesus Christ, for those who humble themselves before him and trust in him. So, yeah, there is a lot of suffering and physical suffering. Tom, you have cancer. And you know that on this show, for the last few years, we've been focusing on the targeted antibodies, the immunotherapy And boy, that is coming on strong. But of course, there's cancer is what the number two cause of death in America. And so many people will be helped as that advances, that kind of targeted treatment. But in the meantime, we are losing so many to this horrific illness that is not God's decree. God did not decree this.
No, no. And I understand that I'm living in a fallen world. And, you know, I heard a preacher the other day, and I just started tuning into him. And, boy, he's on target. He's the pastor of the Gateway Church down in Fort Worth.
All right.
And he says, you know, he says, atheists will ask you, how can a loving God send anyone to hell? And he says, I always tell him, he says, you're asking the wrong question. He says, you should ask how a wicked man can reject a loving God who sacrificed his own son to save you.
Mm. Yeah, hey, Tom, yeah, that is a much better, more insightful question. And of course, if God were to allow all unbelievers into heaven, he could do that. He's God. He has the power to do that. And then he just changed the sign over the gate. You know, St. Peter's Gate, instead of saying heaven, it would say hell. Because they would turn heaven into hell, just like they turn the paradise of this earth into a hell on earth, where wickedness and selfishness and pain and suffering rule the day.
Yeah, he pointed out that God really doesn't send anybody to hell.
Right.
He just allows them to go live where they want to live.
Right. If you love God, and this came out, we got to talk to some Antifa atheists Saturday at the local Denver abortion mill, Planned Parenthood. And
yeah, I heard that.
Wow, yeah. And so, Tom, I got to point out to them that you hate God more than you love one another. You hate God so much that you advocate violence against innocent children. So God gives you the freedom to love him or hate him. And isn't that something? You brought up Calvinism, and we can tell people that, you know, God has this wonderful hope for you that you would have eternal life. But a Calvinist would have to say, well, God might have a wonderful hope for you. I'm not sure.
I look at it this way, and that is that the greatest gift that I think, I thought about what the greatest gift of God has given us. Mm. Of course, he's given us life, but free will, that is a great gift.
Well, because he made us in his image, in his likeness, in love. Without freedom, you can't have love. Without the ability to hate, you cannot have love. And so God wants us to love him and love our neighbor as ourselves. And for that, you need freedom. Tom Healy, we're out of time. My producer's telling us, though he wants us to continue, we're just out of time. So, hey, thank you so much. What an honor it is, Tom, to know you and Madeline, and then to be co-workers in the gospel with the both of you.
Just make me look good at my funeral.
Okay. All right, Tom. That won't be hard to do. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Bob.
This is Bob Benyart for Denver Bible Church, Real Science Radio, Theology Thursday. And, I've been invited to go down to Texas for Tom's memorial service, his funeral. But we'll see. Maybe the rapture will come first. God bless you guys.